Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I can't spend all my time with my birth certificate plastered on my forehead. it is what the facts are. The facts, and so it's not something that I can, spend all my time worrying about. I don't think the American people want me to spend all my time worrying about it. I did not watch the rally. I think that one of the wonderful things about this country is that any given moment, any group of people can decide. You know, we want to. Our voice is heard, and so I think that Mr. Beck and the rest of those folks were exercising their rights under our Constitution exactly as they should.
New Monday, how I hate New Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day.
It is the Savage Nation. It's the summer of our discontent. We have a president looking like a child on a bicycle as opposed or juxtaposed with the president of Russia with an assault rifle hunting whales. Take your choice as to who's going to win in the next blinking contest. Take your choice as to why America is disquiet. Take your choice as to why nearly a million people went to the Lincoln Memorial this last weekend to hear a radio host and a wonderful congresswoman who will be joining us shortly, Michelle Bachmann, will be with us at the half hour. She was part of this monster rally. What shocked me is that I've known that the vermin in the media lie. For years, I have told you liberalism is a mental disorder. For years, I've told you most of them in the media are drug addicts. For years, I've told you all of them are Marxists, with rare exception. But I had no idea that the deception was this great. When I woke up and I saw that, although with my own eyes, I saw a million people at the rally, and it was reported by, I think, CBS that there were 17,000 people there. I said it's far worse than even I, who defined this entire problem many years ago, than even I could have imagined. It's worse than I thought. And then we wake up and we hear that the bicyclist, Pinocchio himself, says that he paid no attention to the rally. Now, what president of the United States of America would pay no attention to a rally of a million people, but intervene in a ground zero mosque for a very small number of Muslim agitators? In other words, he intervenes in an agitation situation in New York City and says he's in favor of building a mosque at ground zero. That attracted his attention. But when a million loyal Americans march and say, we're not going to take it anymore, you've wrecked the economy, you're destroying our national security, we don't want this anymore, he says he's not paying any attention to them? Now that shows you the trouble that we are in. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a regular listener to the Savage Nation? And were you at the rally in Washington, D.C. over the weekend? And did you hear Congresswoman Bachmann, who will be joining us very shortly here on the Savage Nation, to give us her viewpoint as to the number of people there, what she saw there, what the composition of the audience at the Lincoln Memorial was, and what went on there? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. It's the Savage Nation. We could talk about this or other topics on the program today. This should be the day that I set up the new schedule for the show. It could be today. It could be on next week after the Labor Day weekend. But I decided that I'm going to do different things on different days. I mean, you know, specialize in certain things along with the regular news. Fridays are going to be religion and philosophy, okay? In other words, I'm going to read from the Bible on Fridays, and I'm going to do some kind of philosophical stuff. We'll see how it goes if you like it. Thursday is going to be nutrition hour, or a half hour. It's going to be nutrition calls, any nutrition questions, because I'm the only one in the major American media who knows anything about that with a genuine doctorate from a great university and it with many books to my credit. I think you'd be interested in that. Wednesday is going to be finance and the economy with an expert or two. Tuesday is going to be, I'm not sure what I want to do on Tuesday, but Monday we're going to do restaurant and food, restaurants and food from around the nation. I don't know exactly how that's going to evolve. It may be restaurant horror stories on Mondays, along with some other things, various restaurant horror stories that either you have seen or something to that effect, because everybody I know certainly goes into a restaurant at one time. So thus far, as I say, Mondays will be restaurants and food. Wednesdays will be finance and the economy. Thursday will focus for maybe a half an hour in each case. Thursdays will be nutrition and health. Friday will be religion and philosophy, where I will read from the Bible on Fridays. Because the weekends, as I said to you, were not originally planned for golf. Originally, the Sabbath was planned to reach God. And I know God is basically gone in America, except in the few millions. There's probably only a few million people left in this country who actually talk to God on a regular basis. And I would say a large percentage of them listen to Michael Savage. And so since I have made an issue of reading from the Bible, I'm going to do it on a fairly regular basis. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, when I return right here on the Savage Nation, be here or be in Gehenna.
Savage.
So over the weekend was the largest rally I've ever seen at the Lincoln Memorial in many, many years. Decent, good people, all Americans, all loyal, of many different races and such. The media reports at 17,000 when they were near a million people. And so we have reached a point in America where the vermin in the media have now outdone their masters in the ex-Soviet Union at propaganda. And I'm asking you, if you're a regular listener to the Savage Nation and you went to Washington to have your voice be heard, to call the show and tell us what you saw. Let's begin in Virginia. Randy, you were at the rally. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Yes, Randy, go ahead, please.
Yes, it's an honor to speak with you. I was there on Saturday, and I've become a faithful listener to your show, and I treasure both opportunities. It was a massive rally. It was a peaceful rally. It was a respectful rally. The crowd was too large for pictures. I tried to share.
I saw the picture on the Drudge Report, an overhead shot. There was not one space between the Lincoln Memorial and the opposite side of the reflecting pond. It's the largest rally of its kind that I've seen in recent years. And yet the vermin in the media reported 17,000 people. What was your impression? I mean, I know that there were closer to a million people by any realistic estimate. What were your impressions of the rally in Washington, which, as I say, is one of the largest of modern times?
I've been to football games with 80,000 people in the stands, and you could have packed dozens of those football stadiums full of people into that crowd.
Was it because nobody used the N-word and there were no such evil pictures in posters that the vermin in the media at CBS won't report the actual size? That the vermin at ABC, CBS, and NBC, that the vermin on CNN and MSNBC acknowledge the fact that only they exist and no one else exists? Is it because it was such a peaceful rally of genuine Americans as opposed to the rent-a-mobs that they're used to that they wouldn't cover it?
It was willful ignorance. Deception at the highest
level. What amazed me was that the vermin in the media, the worms in the media, the insects in the media had the nerve to say that competing rallies were held in Washington this weekend, comparing the minuscule rally of rent-a-mobs that one reverend was able to assemble, as opposed to the American rally that occurred with nearly a million people. That's the part that amazed me, that the propagandists on the left had the nerve to compare them as equal in size, and that we have a president riding around like a child on a bicycle saying he paid no attention to this rally. That means he's paying no attention to the vast majority of independent voters, is my opinion.
Yes, sir. And the most amazing thing is when the rally was over, the grounds were spotless.
Well, I guess that's another reason that the vermin in the media didn't want to show the rally. Now, of the people who were there, because I was not there, I live in San Francisco and I didn't travel east, would you say that the majority of the people were, I'm trying to define the demographics, I don't mean racially, I'm talking about, were most of them churchgoers? Were they rallied through churches? Were they rallied through Fox News? Were they rallied through talk radio, the internet? What drew the people there? What was the number one element that combined all of them, or that unified all of them, excuse me?
I can speak for myself. I'm inspired by honor, and I'm inspired by integrity, and I'm inspired by our nation's founding fathers. And this was a day to celebrate all of those things. The tribute paid to the wounded warriors and the folks that have fought our wars, the tribute paid to our founding fathers of all races, and the message that Glenn Beck passed was, turn to your God, turn to your families, understand what that means, and do something about it. Get off your rear ends and make a difference. Even one.
Randy, are you a veteran?
Yes, sir, I am.
And were you drawn there because of a veteran's website or through some other means?
No, I was drawn there. I also, in addition to your show, I listen to Glenn Beck's radio show and watch him on TV when I can. So I heard the message before the rally, and I wanted to hear more details of it. And at the rally, we got that. It was an inspiring message, something to move.
No, that's good. So there's a huge crossover in talk radio from one audience to the other, whether it's the golfer or others. There's a crossover between my show and theirs, obviously, in that this is the third largest radio show in the country. There's no question that there's crossover. But you weren't drawn there through a church group, were you?
No. My church did not organize a trip up. I went on my own. My family's on the West Coast. I'm out here. I had the opportunity to...
Well, no, the reason I keep harping on the church group is because the vermin communists in the media are trying to imply that it was... as though there's something evil about churches. As you know, they hate God. They're trying to imply that it was church groups that brought people to the mall as though that's somehow un-American unto itself, which would be laughable if it wasn't so serious. But it was really the media that brought people there, primarily conservative outlets in the media, is what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, sir. There were church groups there, but there were groups of families, there were groups of co-workers, there were groups of all makes. But the message was honor and God and faith. So I'm not surprised that there were church groups and buses full of folks from individual churches. They aren't conflicting ideas.
Yes. So, well, I want to thank you very much for going to the rally and for calling the Savage Nation. I also want to make a note that we personally have, let's leave it out. I don't want to talk about the Wounded Warriors or anything like that. It's not my primary charity. I've done what I could for the U.S. Marines who were falsely indicted by George Bush and now by Barack Obama under the rules of engagement that no man on earth could ever follow. We've done everything we could for the military every step of the way, and we will continue to do so. If you were at the rally over the weekend, the million-person rally that was not covered by the vermin in the media, the propagandists for the new Marxist state of America under Barack Hussein Obama, and you want to comment, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Also, I would like to ask you this. As I said to you, I'm trying to establish a new schedule for September and beyond. Friday will be religion. I'm going to do some reading from the Bible, take it or leave it. If you don't like that segment, you could turn the radio off. But I think since this nation was founded on the Old Testament and then the New Testament, to make it very simple for you, if you don't want to hear about the religions involved, we'll talk about the founding documents of America based upon the Bible itself, which they were. We'll do religion on Fridays, maybe philosophy if there's something interesting. Thursdays, I'm going to do a segment every Thursday if I can keep it up on nutrition and health, where you can call in your nutrition questions. Wednesday will be the economy and money. Monday will be restaurants and food just for fun, since most of us will probably have eaten at least one meal in a restaurant over the weekend, whether it be a roadhouse on a weekend trip or a restaurant in a neighborhood. We can talk about it generically of what went on. And Tuesday, what do you think I should do on Tuesdays? I mean, there's an open day Tuesday. I don't know what to put in there. So if you want to talk about that, that'll be fine. You know, that would be great. Donna in New York, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. You were at the rally. What did you see?
First, I want to say I enjoy your humor, and I value the education you give me every night. I saw at least 500,000 like-minded people who believe in God and their country. We are not going to listen to the media. The media is the minority. We are the majority. We rule. The Constitution, in very large letters, says we are we the people. We rule.
How many? Will you say that there was nearer a million people than 17,000, as the vermin in the media are reporting?
I would say it was closer to a million people, but I can definitely say I was there right by the reflection pool. There was no room. We were shoulder to shoulder.
The only picture I saw that reflected the actual crowd was on the Drudge Report on Sunday morning or Saturday night, I don't know which, and it was an overhead shot. There was not room for one person to fit from one side of the mall to the other. And yet CBS reported 17,000 people or one something. I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Must have taken that shot at 6:30 in the morning, because if you were there when the rally started, there was at least a half a million, and I would say probably a million. I don't know how to count, but all I can tell
you... Right. This was the largest rally of its kind in American history, and our president, Pinocchio, had the nerve to say he paid no attention to that rally. What does that say about his respect or disrespect for the millions of people who have had enough of him?
He's living in denial. That's all I can say. He's living a lie. He's telling a lie, and
he's never had it so good. Him and the First Lady never had it so good. Lobster, champagne, vanilla ice cream, Air Force One, associating with billionaires. They never had it so good. For two college Marxists, they did pretty good, don't you think?
Absolutely.
They never had it so good. What fun they're having. What fun they're having. How could it get any better? I'll be right back on the Savage Nation to take your calls on this and on the new schedule and on any other topic that pleases you. After all, it's the last week of August, actually last days of August, for God's sakes. It is already the end of August. I can't believe it. And we have a couple of days to the beginning of September. It's just amazing where the summer has gone. If you'd like to talk about any political topic or any other topic related to what we're discussing, any news of the day, we can do so together on the show, because I know one thing. My mind never sleeps. I'm sure those of you who listen to the show, if you're not on vacation, even if you are on vacation, I'm sure your political brain is still active.
Savage.
I did not watch the rally. I think that one of the wonderful things about this country is that any given moment, any group of people can decide, you know, we want to, our voices heard. So I think that Mr. Beck and the rest of those folks were exercising their rights under our Constitution exactly as they should.
So Pinocchio on a bicycle says that he paid no attention to a million people at the Lincoln Memorial over the weekend, redressing their grievances with the central government, whatever the grievances may have been, primarily I would think economic. And yet, a few agitators with shady backgrounds want to build a mosque at Ground Zero, and that he finds time to pay attention to. So now either he has no balance whatsoever, or he's lying to you. What president in modern history would pay no attention to a million people rallying in Washington, D.C.? Can you name one president who would say that I disrespect the million of you who showed up, I don't need your votes, if he was in touch with reality? I can't think of any president of any party who would make a statement like that. And no matter who rallied a million people, you'd say, well, I did pay attention to it, and we got their message, and we're going to make whatever. He didn't say that. He said, you don't exist. You don't exist, but the radicals involved who want to build a mosque at Ground Zero, those people got his attention. So he further alienates most of America with, again, another gaffe, if it's really a gaffe. Again, they blame Bush for the economy. Again, Wall Street falls today as the economy, or whatever controls the economy, is worried. Dow falls 140 points. Banks and industrial slide. One out of six people are living on government aid of some kind. And he pays no attention to the million people who went to Washington to basically say, in their own words, we do not want the trickle-up poverty that you have in mind for us. I have to use the title to my forthcoming book, if you don't mind, because when it comes down to it, if there was one message from the rally, if there was one message, it was honor America. If there was another message, it would be, Mr. Obama, you can take your trickle-up poverty and shove it. Las Vegas, D, you're on the Savage Nation.
Your show, and I appreciate you doing everything you're doing for this country. And I flew in from Las Vegas. I went to Atlanta first, and there was probably a third of that flight from Atlanta on a Thursday night heading into D.C., going just to the rally.
Oh, it must have been a beautiful flight. Was it exciting?
It was. It was. You had a sense of unity and honor and just faith that, you know what, we're going to get through this. But I stayed overnight on the Mall. There had to have been 20, 25,000, maybe 50 that actually stayed overnight. And just
Wait a minute. I didn't know this. You're saying people camped out on the Mall?
Oh, my hell, yeah. There were thousands, tens of thousands that camped out.
And this went unreported by the verminous leftist vermin in the media?
Because you know why they say that you cannot sleep? I mean, there were plenty of people sleeping. There were people up playing cards. I got maybe 3 hours of sleep. And it's just, they have this...
But this is one of the greatest events of our time. One of the greatest events of our time. And they say there were 17,000 people, and they don't even report about the spirit there at the nighttime. They don't report on the right numbers. And they wonder why their newspapers are going out of business and why people are turning off network news.
Michael, I agree. It was amazing.
You know, I got to say this, Dee, with all due respect to Glenn Beck, who created this, and there is due respect to it, you got to say something about the American people, is that when they're called to duty, they come out. And I don't organize rallies. I've given up on that a long time ago. I'm a lot older than the people in the media today. You might say I started it all with my compassionate conservative conventions. It doesn't matter who gets credit. I really don't care. All I can say is, pulling off a thing like this, as orchestrated as it was, is one of the most difficult things on earth. Unto itself, it was worthy of a Hollywood production. Can you name another rally that drew this many people that you've seen in the last few years? I can't. I honestly can't. Let's say even on the other side. Tell me the other side, and tell me a number that ever got a crowd like this. The last time I saw a crowd like this in any number was the Million Man March, the Black People's March. Do you remember a number of years ago? I think at Bill Clinton's time, was it?
Right, and the fact was with that, it was what they reported, maybe 354, and the fact that Louis Farrakhan turned around and tries suing the media or whoever reported the number of that.
You mean because they underreported it at 354 when it was closer to a million? Is that the point?
Right. That was their point, that they said there was. And you know what? There's, to me, looking at every photo, not only of this rally, but of rallies in the past, because I was very curious to see how many people were going to show up. It, to me, 750 to a million is a very reasonable number, and it just blows
And when you woke up Sunday morning and you saw the lack of coverage, or the coverage that was disrespectful, dismissive, and vastly underreporting, what feelings did you have?
I was sick to my stomach. I was up half that night just watching anything I could of different stations.
That's right, and you saw almost nothing. C-SPAN, to their credit, covered it for a brief period of time, as hard focused on a small segment of the crowd as they could get to make it look smaller. And then they broke away to something that had been done on Wednesday, and they didn't rerun it on the next day, which this is the biggest news C-SPAN has had in its modern career. And yet the so-called public in Lamb chose to cut away as soon as they could and underreport at number three, and then break away to something else, number four. So where did the people see the picture of the rally? Where did you actually see a true representation of the million people who were there? Where did you see it? I saw it only on the Drudge Report. Where did you see it?
That's probably one of the best ones, but there are a few within where he has, gosh, maybe 30. It depicts a lot of them. But
so it's on a few different websites that the actual crowds were seen. Thank you very much for attending, and God bless America. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New York, Steve, you were there on the Mall. Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, Mike, I got to tell you, the place was packed out, and I only saw one media report after I got home. And that, you're not going to believe who I saw do the report to. It was this morning. It was the son of the garbage man. You follow me?
Wait. The son of the garbage man?
It was the son of the son of the garbage man. Sounds like a potato chip. You get me?
No, you'll have to use the actual... I know we talk in code on this show. You don't mean Meatloaf, Meatloaf Jr. on Fox News, do you?
Oh, no, Russert's kid.
Oh, he's still around?
I was used to Oral Savage talk with you. No,
I'm so detached from my own nomenclature, I didn't know who you were referring to. Okay, Tim Russert is the garbage man's son, but Tim Russert died.
Exactly. Now the son of the garbage man is doing false reporting.
Well, where does the son of the garbage man work?
He works for MSNBC, does reports in the field, I guess.
So what is the garbage man's grandson's name?
Luke. Luke Russert.
So the garbage man's grandson is another a minion of the far left, sending out disinformation? That's the best this hack can do?
Yeah, if I'm lying, I'm dying, Mike. Have your team Google it. I'm not lying to you.
No. I didn't know who you were. I forgot my own nomenclature already, you know, because Russert died. So I didn't know that he's the son of a guardian, but I didn't know that the garbage man produced the grandson of this low caliber.
He's shoveling garbage, Mike. And, you know, he's so keen on events that he was reporting out of Ohio. He wasn't even there, and he's telling you what happened.
Well, I think CBS said there were 17,000 when there were a million. But the truth is what's important. The truth is that Obama disrespected a million people and said he paid no attention to the rally. How does that fit with you when you know he intervened with the Ground Zero Mosque on behalf of, let's say, 4 to 6 agitating Muslims who want to build an insult to America's memory of 9/11? He has time for that, but he says he paid no attention to a rally of a million people? What does that tell you about Pinocchio?
Mike, I got to tell you quite honestly, I'm not a fan of the guy. He's the president of the United States, though. But when I heard him with his comments Sunday, you know, he almost looked like a wounded animal. He didn't have any of that.
Well, he is destroying the party. The Democrats realize that he has destroyed the Democrat Party. They know that.
Terrible.
And the word I'm looking for escapes me right now. In England, just before the dawn of World War II, the Brits had the equivalent of Obama, who before he was elected, I said he will either be like him or even worse. And they were going to war with Germany, and there was a vote amongst the liberals, the liberal socialists in England, the Labour Party, and they actually voted him out of their own party because they said he's not a war leader, and it would be they were afraid if they kept him in power, the Germans would defeat England. Do you know the name of that British statesman who was thrown out by his own party?
I don't know, Mike. No.
Neville Chamberlain. Neville Chamberlain was he wasn't a quisling, he was a weakling. He was a weakling leader who kept apologizing for whatever Hitler did, and Britain was on the verge of war with Germany, and the liberal Democrats got together and they threw him out of their own party because they knew that they would lose the country to Hitler. There's a great parallel between what I just said about Neville Chamberlain and the Democrat Party today with Obama. If we lived in a parliamentary system, there's a high likelihood that they would pass a vote of no confidence and dismiss Obama and take him out of office right now and put someone else in, and I doubt it would be Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden is a frat boy and completely, completely dishonored by his own party. He's not a leader as well. He's another one disconnected from reality. They need a real leader, and they don't have one right now. So what I'm saying is it's highly likely that the Democrats know all of this. The power and the money behind the Democrats recognize that Pinocchio is going to destroy the party, wouldn't you say?
I would have to agree with you. And, Mike, if there's one thing I can say about that rally, people came from all over the country. They really do owe a big round of applause to the D.C. police and all of that crew that works those traffic corners to cross people. It went off without a hitch. And that's who
and
really
there was no violence. There was no violence. There were no racist posters. There was no N-word, and consequently, the garbage men in the media did not want to report on this incredibly important, seminal moment in American history. I appreciate the call. The time right now is your time to call 1-800-449-8255. If you'd like to suggest what day we should have on Tuesdays in the future, Monday, restaurants and food, Wednesday, economy and money, Thursday, nutrition and health, Friday, religion and philosophy, Tuesday is still open. If you have a suggestion as to what we should cover on Tuesdays, give me a call. I'll be back. Here's an exclusive from ABC News on the Savage Nation. Two men, two Arab men, on a United flight from Chicago to Amsterdam were arrested in preparation for a terrorist attack. They say it was a dry run. Two men, Ahmed Mohammed Nasir and Khazim Al-Murisi, were arrested and taken off a United Airlines flight in the Netherlands and been charged with Dutch police with preparation of a terrorist attack, according to a U.S. law enforcement official. The sad and terrifying aspect of this story is that both of these Arab Muslims were cleared through security by worthless TSA workers in Chicago, the same type of worthless TSA workers who frisk me down to my groin every time I go on a flight, but apparently give Muslim men a free pass. And I am so sick of it, I don't know what to say to you. Let me tell you something. This is not a religious rally. This is a radio talk show, and as long as I have the freedom, I'm going to use the freedom of speech to tell you this has to stop. I have seen one Muslim after another being whisked through like it's a private club. I've seen nuns in their 90s humiliated and crying by the worthless vermin in the TSA. And when I went flying 2 weeks ago to Los Angeles, a third worlder gave me the once-over and gave a little check on my ticket. And then again, because I guess they don't like the look of a real American. But if you're from the Middle East and you got dynamite strapped to your guts, or fake dynamite strapped to your guts, and you're on a little test run, go right aboard. Go right aboard! U.S. officials said the two Arab men appeared to be traveling with what were termed mock bombs in their luggage. This was almost certainly a dry run, a test said one senior law enforcement official. The two men were allowed to board the flight at O'Hare Airport last night, despite security concerns surrounding one of them, the official said. The men were identified as Ahmed Mohammed Nasir of Detroit, Michigan, and Hazim Al-Murisi. A neighbor of Al-Sufi told ABC News he is from Yemen. Airport security screeners in Birmingham, Alabama, God bless them. God bless the Southerners. They're the only ones who'll save us. Airport security screeners in Birmingham, Alabama, who have not yet been gelded by the vermin in the media, who have not been turned into geldings by the vermin in the media and in the FBI. Airport security screeners in Birmingham, Alabama, first stopped Al-Sufi and referred him for additional screening because of what officials said was his bulky clothing. In addition, officials said Al-Sufi was found to be carrying $7,000 in cash, and a check of his luggage found a cell phone taped to a Pepto-Bismol bottle, three cell phones taped together, several watches taped together, a box cutter, and three large knives. You hear this? But he was allowed on the plane. Then he was cleared for the flight from Birmingham to Chicago because, after all, you don't want to racially profile. You got to put him on, even with taped watches. You got to put him on with box cutters. But if an actual American or a nun or a returning veteran got on an airplane with an extra bar of chewing gum, they'd strip him naked and put him in a back room and give him the third degree. That's because your country has been turned inside out under Hussein Obama. That is because your country has become another place. That's because your country is a wholly owned subsidiary of Saudi Arabia and China. I'm waiting for the Red Star to appear atop of the White House any day when they tell us they're out of business and it's only new management. I'm still waiting to see that one. And he'll tell you he paid no attention to it because we're all neighbors now in the New World Order. He's a child of the earth. He's a child of the globe. So it doesn't matter if a Red Star replaces the American flag over the White House. They find the guy with a cell phone taped to a Pepto-Bismol bottle, three cell phones taped together, several watches taped together, a box cutter, and three large knives. And so they let Al-Sufi go on to Chicago O'Hare. Once in Chicago, so-called useless officials say they learned Al-Sufi checked his luggage on a flight to Washington's Dulles for connections on flights to Dubai and then Yemen, even though he did not board the flight himself. Instead, officials say Al-Sufi was joined by the second man, an Arab Muslim named Al-Murisi, and the two darlings boarded the United flight from Chicago to Amsterdam. When customs and border useless officials learned Al-Sufi was not on the flight from Dulles to Dubai, the plane was ordered to return to the gate so his luggage could be removed. Officials said additional screening found only the taped watches and no evidence of explosives. The two men were detained by Dutch authorities when the United flight landed in Amsterdam, according to the officials. No doubt a vermin with a law degree, some traitor with a law degree from either one of the low-life law schools like NYU or Harvard, you know, one of those denizens of anti-Americanism, is already threatening to sue United Airlines on behalf of the Arab Muslim passengers. Because after all, they didn't blow the plane up. After all, they didn't actually have explosives. After all, it could be a cultural thing. It could just be a cultural thing, taping watches together. Taping a watch to a Pepto-Bismol bottle could be some ritual we know nothing about because we're evil white men. We don't know anything about the rituals of the Third World. Perhaps they need to carry knives and box cutters in order to trim their fingernails on an airplane. And you may not have the right to carry a box cutter, but they may have a new right to carry a box cutter on the Big Sis. Maybe it's a religious ritual that a box cutter is used to trim a fingernail. Maybe it's found in a holy book somewhere on page 12,992, but you're not a member of that religion, so you can't have a box cutter. Ask Big Sis what she has to say about this. Ask her where she is on vacation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I can't spend all my time with my birth certificate plastered on my forehead. it is what the facts are. The facts, and so it's not something that I can, spend all my time worrying about. I don't think the American people want me to spend all my time worrying about it. I did not watch the rally. I think that one of the wonderful things about this country is that any given moment, any group of people can decide. You know, we want to. Our voice is heard, and so I think that Mr. Beck and the rest of those folks were exercised under our Constitution exactly as they should.
New Monday, I heard flag of slave on me. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So we have been talking about Pinocchio on a bicycle, saying that he paid attention to a few agitators of the Muslim persuasion who want a mosque built at Ground Zero. That attracted his attention. He took their side. But a million people saying, enough is enough. We don't like your trickle-up poverty. We love America. He paid no attention to them. Now, either the guy is a disaster or he's a liar, one or the other, because he can't be both. There's no question in my mind that any skilled politician would say, even if they were not his voter bloc. Now, while nothing, we really respect what you say and we hear you, we're going to do something about it. That would be the proper answer or statement for a president to make about a rally of this magnitude. Instead, he says he paid no attention to it. What does that tell you about Pinocchio, who is cycling while America burns, in essence? The man is cycling, eating cherry vanilla ice cream, eating caviar and lobster, the best of everything. Two college Marxists never had it so good. And here they are enjoying the fruits of your labor and trying to disperse it to as much of the world as possible as fast as they can. And a million of you go to Washington and say, enough is enough. We're going to redress our grievances. And he says, I paid no attention to the rally. And so I've asked you, if you're a listener to the Savage Nation, I certainly didn't organize it. I had nothing to do with it. My hat's off to those who did. But if you were there and you listened to this show, tell us what you saw at the rally. That's the primary topic, because the vermin in the media who are making Joseph Stalin very proud today by underreporting or not reporting at all on the rally. I mean, I'm used to this. Here I was banned in Britain. Yes, I'll bring it up. And the organizer of this rally and everyone else in the conservative media, by and large, ignored it. Now, just think about that one. One of the greatest assaults on your personal freedom occurred in your lifetime, and the great savior at the rally had nothing to say about it. All right, I don't need anyone to be my PR agent. Thank God I have great listeners who did pay attention, and I'm fighting again right now. We are still appealing, and we're fighting, and we're using again the political process. We're using powers, anything we can. But it's amazing to me what I see going on in this country right now. And what's astonishing is that the same vermin in the media who did not pay any attention to Michael Savage being banned by a Western nation, by being put on a list with murderers and terrorists, the very same vermin in the media, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and others, the very same America haters, have the nerve to either make believe the rally didn't occur over the weekend or say there were 17,000 people there, or worse yet, equate it to a rally held by a rent-a-mob reverend, who, by the way, we don't even know if he's a real reverend. To this day, I have no idea if the so-called professional reverend ever went to divinity school or if it's a self-appointed degree. And yet they say it's an equal rally. Maybe he had a few busloads come into a high school there. How could a president say he paid no attention to a mass gathering like this? What kind of president is this? This is a president who wants to unite a nation? It's the largest mass rally I've seen in Washington since the Million Man March, and he says he paid no attention to it. Now, let's reverse it. There's a white president. A million black people go to Washington in a Million Man March, and the white president says, I paid no attention to the rally on Monday morning. What do you think would happen from the left-wing vermin in the media if a white president so disrespected a rally of a million black men? Tell me what would happen on Monday if a president did that. Tell me. Huh? Well, I think you don't have to tell me anything because you know the answer. This is the Savage Nation. It's the Monday edition. Tuesday's open. Wednesday is going to be economy and money. Thursday, nutrition and health. Friday, religion and philosophy. At least one segment on those major topics on those days is the goal. We'll see if it works out. I'll be back in a moment. Joining us will be Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann right here on the Savage Nation, where you can ask her what she saw right there on the ground at the Lincoln Memorial, unlike the garbage men on the left. Be here.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The President of the United States, seen on a bicycle over the weekend, says that he paid no attention to the million-person rally at the Lincoln Memorial this weekend. This is the same president who had the negative instincts to pay attention to the, shall I say, questionable, shady characters who want to build a mosque at Ground Zero. That he found time for. He joined on their side to build a mosque at Ground Zero. That he found time to pay attention to and intervene with. But a million people on a Lincoln Memorial, that's nothing to him. He didn't even pay any attention to it. Joining us right now is everyone's favorite congressman, Michelle Bachmann. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Congratulations on that enormous rally over the weekend.
It was absolutely tremendous, Michael. Oh, there! It was wall-to-wall people. You couldn't move on them all. And the
we know that there were between 700,000 and a million people there, yet the media reported, CBS said 17,000. Most people didn't report on it. You were there. You were part of it. You saw the crowd. How did you feel as an elected member of Congress waking up to an American media that says it didn't even happen or that it was only 20,000 or so people? Doesn't that tell you we're in far worse shape than even you probably feared?
Well, yeah, it's a parallel universe. And I think, Michael, that's why you have the audience that you have. People respect you. They listen to you because you're not going to lie to them. You tell them the truth.
Well, okay, I try to tell them the truth. But when you have a picture is worth a thousand words and they don't show a picture as Drudge did of a million people, how can they even know the rally occurred? I will bet you that a goodly percentage of people don't even know this rally occurred over the weekend because the midstream media has such a total lock grip on the imagery, and if they don't show it, it doesn't exist.
No, that is true. You know, and after the rally, we held our own town hall meeting. We probably had 10,000 people just cycle through our meeting that we held going in and out, and people came up to the microphone, and we opened the microphone up, and we weren't afraid. We let people just come up to the microphone and express what they believe about what's happening in this country. And people are very fearful of Pelosi, Obama, Reid. They want to change, and they aren't going to just go to rallies. They're going to do whatever they have to do to elect constitutional conservatives.
Well, that's what it was about. Was it about Save America, Respect America, the economy, or a mixture of these elements, Congresswoman? What would you say it was?
I would say it was a unity around what's right about America, what's right, what lifts us up, and moving us forward so that we can regain the greatness that America has already always had. Because
why would a president of the United States, the bicyclist, who I affectionately call Pinocchio, why would Pinocchio say that he paid no attention to this rally when really all it was about was restoring respect for America? I mean, what can we draw from that?
Well, I think what it says is he really cares about himself and his agenda. He doesn't care about what the people think, who he is supposed to represent. That's fundamental.
Ms. Bachman, when you were on this show last time and the time before and the time before that, you told my audience that Nancy Pelosi had specifically targeted you, even though your state is thousands of miles away from the sewer of San Francisco. How is that going now?
Well, they have doubled down against my race. Howard Dean made me the number one target last week to raise money against. The radical environmentalists have made me their number one target to defeat Aunt Emily's list. They're running the second TV ad now against me, and so this is going to be an extremely expensive race, and they're on me all the time. So it's she has.
Well, I'm going to say again, is there anything we can do? I mean, I'm here to help you. We want you to hold on to your seat. You're one of the best we have. We don't need another whack job from the universities who live in a dream world. Where can people send money in plain English? Is there a website?
Sure, yeah. They can go to michellebachman.com. Michelle with one L, Bachman with two N's, michellebachman.com. They can donate online, and that's the easiest. That's really what we need right now.
Well, that's what you should have right now, because people have to start putting their money where their thoughts are. What I know that in September you're going to be at Joe Farah's WorldNet Daily Conference. That's on the 17th in Miami, correct, where people can actually meet you?
He has the conference down in Miami, and we are figuring all of that out, how we're going to be there, whether it's Skype or in person.
Well, people want to meet you, so how can they meet you? They have to go to your home state to meet you, or there's no other way?
Well, I was in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Right now, I'm trying to focus every moment that I can on being in my district, because that's what
When is the election with all the others in November? Is that when you're facing your election?
Is my election in November?
Yeah, like everyone. I mean, you're up for a re-election this November, correct?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. So it's not years away. It's months away. And the Democrats have targeted you as the number one enemy because you stand for America more clearly than most anybody else in Congress today.
Well, and that's why we're working very hard and faithfully to try and get back. So I'm here in my district every minute I possibly can be to campaign.
All right. Michelle with one L, dot Bachman, or tell us again because I don't want to get it wrong.
Just michellebachman.com. People can volunteer online and help us, or they can volunteer from their home and make phone calls.
How much is the most money anybody can give to a congressional candidate? Is there a maximum?
Yes, it is $2,400 per person. and they can.
So how is it that $900 million was given to Obama? Where did he get the $900 million? That would be an awful lot of millions of people. How did they get around those campaign finance rules? I truly don't understand it.
Well, we can't get an investigation either because he refuses to appoint the people to do the investigation.
So if the money came from foreign sources and was bundled, et cetera, we will never know it. All right, let's focus on keeping Congressman Michelle Bachmann in Congress. Thank you for being with us, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Here's some important news I just saw that I have to share with you on the Savage Nation. It's shocking. I'm getting this off a Middle Eastern website, Debka. Mysterious death of Russian military intelligence high up in Syria. This is a shocking story. It came out really within the hour. General Yuri Ivanov, age 52, deputy head of GRU, the Russian military's overseas intelligence arm of Russian military, was found dead in mysterious circumstances described in a terse official Russian eulogy as a tragic swimming accident, quote, several days ago. No further details provided, such as where he died. Although he apparently drowned off the shore of Syrian Latakia, his body was recovered from Turkish waters 10 days after he went missing. Now, this is actually a shocking story. Here is the deputy head of the Russian military intelligence unit. He's 52 years old. He is in Syria advising the Syrians on their war plans against Israel, and he dies under mysterious circumstances. If you read down, listen to this. U.S. to sell Israel massive military fuel stocks worth $2 billion. Now, what do you think the Israelis are getting the fuel for? Do you have to be Houdini to figure this one out, or Sherlock Holmes? On August 6th, the U.S. Defense Security Cooperation Agency informed Congress of the sale to Israel of 60 million gallons of unleaded gasoline, unless they're all going on a vacation. You think the Israelis are leaving Israel? That's why they need the unleaded gas? Well, they also bought 284 million gallons of JP-8 aviation jet fuel. Maybe a lot of Israelis are going to be traveling to Los Angeles for the Jewish holidays. And 100 million gallons of diesel fuel. Maybe they're all going out on their yachts for Labor Day weekend. Did you hear what I just said to you? Congress has agreed to sell Israel 60 million gallons of unleaded gas, 284 million gallons of JP-8 aviation jet fuel, and 100 million gallons of diesel fuel worth $2 billion, saying the following. Israel will have no difficulty absorbing this additional fuel into its armed forces, close quote. The date? 10 days after a Japanese supertanker carrying 200,000 tons of oil was attacked heading out of the Strait of Hormuz. Very interesting. The times, they are a-changing. It's all blowing in the wind. My guess is the October surprise will be no surprise to people like me who have been calling this from a long way out. My guess is the Democrats have given Israel the green light. The attack will occur in October, if not sooner. And the Democrats will not be swept out of power, as you think, because people will say, you see that? They're not the weaklings on the unicycles that you have painted them to be. They're actually stronger than you think. They're also more behind Israel than you think, only they don't talk about it. They walk quietly and carry a big stick. I mean, we can only hope that they actually have given Israel the green light to defend itself rather than see the Jewish state disappear into the sea because of the hateful bastards who surround them, who want them to disappear. Let's only pray that the U.S. has finally done the right thing with regard to Israel. Let's pray. Let us pray that these reports of fuel sales and whatnot are strictly for the coming attack against the Hitler of Iran's nuclear ambitions. And once again, the Iranian people will be free. The women will be able to tear off their burqas. The women will be able to drive cars. The women will be able to walk freely in the streets of Tehran once again, and they will be free of the old men. Let's put it that way.
Savage.
Talking about the most important and largest rally in Washington that I know of since the Million Man March, quite a long time ago. Crowd estimates between 500,000 and a million people. And yet the vermin at CBS, which is probably the worst of all the networks, incidentally, CBS, you should note, is probably the worst. They ranked it at 87th, 87,000 people, to show you what has happened to a once great network. 87,000 people. It's astounding that they can get away with this, but then we know who runs CBS, and we understand what their agenda is, and we know why their network is in such a shakeup. But if you look at the pictures yourself, you realize there hasn't been a rally of this size in Washington. I don't know of one since the Million Man Wash, but I want to pose a question to you that hasn't yet been asked in discussing what occurred over the weekend. What if, after the Million Man March of Black Men, which was truly astonishing when it occurred, on Monday morning, a president of the United States, I think it was Bill Clinton, went on the air and he was asked about it. What if he had said, I paid no attention to the Million Man March over the weekend, but people are entitled to do what they want? Tell me what the outcry would be today. Well, that's what your president, Pinocchio, had the nerve to say on a bicycle somewhere in Martha's Vineyard or wherever he was. He said he has no, he didn't watch the rally, but he thinks it's a wonderful thing for people. Play the piece of Pinocchio right now.
I did not watch the rally. I think that...
All right, he did not watch the rally, but he had time to intervene on behalf of the mosque agitators in New York City. A half a dozen mosque profiteers in New York City, that he had the time to intervene in, but a half a million to a million people mean nothing to him. And you wonder why the Democrat Party is in a hysteria right now. They're in a hysteria right now. Well, joining us is another attendee, a man who actually spoke at the rally. His name is Rabbi Arye Spiro. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Rabbi. Did you speak over the weekend?
I didn't actually speak. It was Shabbat, but what I did do, I was on the dais there, together with other clergy, and Sarah Palin was there, and Pastor Hagee. So I was on the dais, and I was had a wonderful vantage point being on that platform behind all the speakers, because I could see the full crowd on both sides of the reflecting pool, and I could see all the way down to the Washington Monument, and there were people all the way down to the monument, fully on both sides. I thought that there were probably about 600,000. I like the name, the number 600,000.
Well, CBS said there were 87,000. How do you feel about that, Rob? Rabbi, you're in the truth business. I mean, obviously, that must grate you.
I tell you, it was very frightening. When I saw that report, and having been there, and I saw the willful deception on the part of the media, CBS and other people, I said, my goodness, we in America are in trouble if we're relying on our information from the media, and they willfully deceived us at a place where I know that there was a half a million more people than they said, then who knows what they're doing with other news events.
It's worse than I even thought, and I'm pretty negative on them, having seen what they've done to this country over the last decade. Now, Rabbi, obviously you're of the Jewish faith. I mean, that's a given. I mean, it sounds like a laugh line, but it isn't. And I'm saying that for a reason, because the media would have the American people believe that it was right-wing bigots who hated minorities there, but I understand you had quite a different reception. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, I was wearing my yarmulke, and I have a beard, too, and I had a black suit on. And when I was walking through the crowd, people were saying, Shalom, Shalom, and they were saying, Shabbat Shalom, thank you for coming, we love Israel. It was wonderful. Here you have this great swath of American people, and they were from all over, the South, the West, the mountains, the East. And they were saying Shalom, and they were clapping, they were cheering. They weren't cheering me, they were cheering the Jewish people. They were cheering the Bible.
That's all the more of an explanation as to why CBS would try to disrespect the rally and why the president would say he paid no attention to it. In my opinion, it's because it doesn't match their agenda, in plain English. And so, therefore, we are in much worse shape than even I, the cynic, would have believed. Far worse shape when we see a major media outlet like the once great CBS saying there were 87,000 when any picture would tell you there were over half a million, between a half a million and a million people there. Rabbi, what else did you see while you were there? Obviously, the people were respectful of you. Is there any other observation you'd care to share with the Savage Nation today?
It was just wonderful people who love America. They wanted nothing from this country except to love it, to honor it. They take nothing from the country. They believe in this. This is their identity. They're Americans. They believe in a Judeo-Christian ethos, which I do too. I think that's part of our identity. And they feel that the country is being taken from them by an elitist core, be it the led by the president, be it people in the administration, certainly the press, academia, and they want their country back. These are the people who sacrifice. They send their children to the army. They're the ones that preserve the freedom of this country. They give. They ask for nothing. And they want their country back because they see that what they love is despised by the elitists who want to transform this country into something European or transnational.
Rabbi Spiro, you're an extremely articulate speaker. I'd like to know where do you call home? Where is your home?
Right now we're in the New York City area. I'm originally from the Midwest, from Ohio. My family is my grandfather, great-grandfather, we're in Ohio. We're the oldest surviving Orthodox Jewish family west of the Hudson River, and most of my life I was in Ohio, but now I'm in the New York City area.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, you're always welcome on the Savage Nation, and the best part of this conversation for me was not about the numbers of people there, but the respect that this largely, overwhelmingly 99 percentile Christian crowd reflected upon you as a visual Jewish man. In other words, everything the media would have you believe is that a bunch of right-wing crackpot racists, when you know the opposite to have been true.
We're cheering my biblical Judaism, the Jewish people.
God bless you. This is so beautiful. I really want to thank you for calling the Savage Nation. It means an awful lot to me, and I hope it does to my listeners. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. That was Rabbi Aryeh Spiro, who actually was at the rally that CBS had the gall to say only had 87,000 people, when every reasonable estimate holds it between 500,000 and a million. And the president says he paid no attention to it. He was busy cycling more of his agenda into the American gullet. 1-800-449-8255. If you have an idea for my Tuesday shows, or you want to comment on any of the news stories we touched on, I mean, that's big news coming out of the Middle East. I don't know if you heard any of that. You can call the show, certainly. Let's go to a caller who has an idea for a Tuesday segment. Arlene in Chicago. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. So Friday, I'm going to do religion as a segment. Thursday, I'm going to do nutrition and health. Wednesday, economy and money. Monday, I'm going to do restaurants and food. What would you have me do on Tuesdays?
Hi. I called in regard to that, but I just quickly wanted to say I know I got by the president did not listen to anything from a rally because he checked with the media. And we, as American people, are pulling away from that, and they can't even count. So that's worthless. But as far as your Tuesday, I love your stories. I love hearing about Teddy. But most of all, I enjoy hearing the history, because we do not want to repeat this history. We want to go forward. And
right. Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. As you well know, that was stated by the Spanish philosopher Santayana. All right, so you'd like a history. I don't know if I can do history, too. The minute you say history, people don't listen to the show. In fact,
yep.
That's a cue. Thank you for the call. That is a cue. My drop button is not. Robert in New York on WOR, your opinion, please. What would you have me do on Tuesdays?
Yes, I think Tuesday should be art, literature, and music.
You know, that's not a bad idea. That's okay. When I could play a little opera. We can talk about the great contributions of the dead white male, for example, to this great society of ours. That would be a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I think it has a broad appeal.
Art? Well, you know, it's hard to say when you consider that talk radio is so denigrated by the mainstream media. You would think that the people who listen to talk radio are all knuckle draggers. And yet we found out that at the rally they even respected an Orthodox rabbi. Isn't that strange? According to the media, they're all hateful of minorities. Isn't that bizarre?
I think it's bizarre. Yeah. You know,
so
I mean,
when to get back to your main point, without being facetious, sometimes facetiousness has its limitation. When you say, Robert, you call, you say you'd like to talk about art and music. If you were programming a show for Michael Savage, and I said to you, I'll tell you what, you program the first Tuesday on art and music, what would you have me discuss?
Well, I would think some of the major shows that are around the country and museums and some music that concerts and opera and jazz.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Something contemporary of what's going on. That's interesting. Sort of a, almost a calendar of cultural events. That's interesting. That would be good to know. That certainly is a part of America that's not often discussed on talk radio. Thank you for that idea. That's a nice one. Well, let me do a quick cultural piece. It's lowbrow culture. It's television. I was a fan of Mad Men, which apparently won all sorts of awards. I am no longer a fan of Mad Men. I think it's gotten horrible. I think that the director, producer, writer, Wiener, has gone overboard with the sex in it. I thought it was much better when January Jones was the wife of Robert Hamm, the husband. And it was, you know what I'm talking about, the show Mad Men, about advertising in New York in the 60s? It's an interesting show. The first two seasons were terrific. Third one was terrific. But this season has left me limp. I can't even watch it anymore. There's too many ads for one thing. But so once they took January Jones out of the picture, it's, I don't know, maybe it's because she was so beautiful. I don't find it that intriguing, and it's not so much that she's pretty. There's a lot of pretty women. I think the reason I was drawn to the Mad Men show for the years I watched it was because of the dynamics between the husband and wife in the suburban setting, let us say in upstate New York off the, you know, the commuter rail line, and the struggles that they had as a couple with raising the children. I thought that the reality of that marriage was as interesting to me as anything else. And once they divorced, and she married the older man, a politician in this case, and she's no longer really in the picture other than as a nasty harridan who calls him cursing that he didn't show up to take care of the kids or this and that, and they show him living in a dismal apartment somewhere in New York, going to bed with as many young women as he can. I don't know. It's lost its interest for me personally. If you'd like to comment about this schlock Mad Men and the awards they gave themselves, give me a ring. I'll be back. All right, we've had a lot of fun here on the Savage Nation talking about reality as opposed to the propagandists in the media who not only have tried to denigrate everything I have done over the 15 years in radio, and believe me, I'm used to the lies. I am used to the lies. I'm used to the Stalinist behavior of the vermin at CBS and the other networks. But when you see it in black and white, you can say, all right, they don't like you because your politics are different than theirs and you learn to live with it. But when you see 500,000 to a million people with your own eyes, and the vermin in the media at CBS have the nerve to say 87,000 without even a snicker. And then you wake up and your own president, who says he's the president of all of America, says, I didn't even pay any attention to the rally. A million people mean nothing to me. But six agitators from the Muslim faith want a mosque at Ground Zero. Oh, he's right on it. Pinocchio's right there in his unicycle. Honk, honk, here I come. I'm on your side. How is that possible? And he wonders why the people wonder if he's a Muslim. Isn't that interesting? I wonder about that. Well, I don't wonder about it at all. That would be a good cue for a rock and roll song, I Wonder, Wonder Who. Anyway, I've been suffering from a head cold for a week. I'm a fairly healthy guy, but the end of summer head cold, you know what I mean? Here we go into Labor Day. My boat's been tied up in a boatyard for 3 weeks. I had a bottom paint job done and a stern thrust to put on it. To be continued, I'll tell you that story one day. Let's put it to you this way. Don't ever do an aftermarket stern thruster. It's not that it was done wrong. It's like brain surgery. It's as though I went in for brain surgery. It's like dental work. Let's put it to you that way. No, it's worse than dental work. I don't know what it is. A boat is a very personal thing. You see the big whale out of the water having its tail cut open. For 3 weeks now, I haven't had a boat. Head cold. But the dog is good. Yesterday, I took the dog for a ride. It's Teddy and I. We go for a ride. We talk. He's not a bad conversationalist. He listens. He doesn't answer back. He's my grand dog, we call him. A friend of mine said his dogs are his grand dogs. That's not a bad thing. You know my old joke. Anyways, I went to somewhere. It's an outdoor place somewhere near where I live. And there's a group of Brazilian people. God bless them. They brought their culture to America. Instead of they brought hate and bombs, they brought their love for dance and food and music. You know, various cultures come here, and they all seem to blend, get along, assimilate. One brings a cuisine, the other one brings a music, the other brings a literature, the other brings a sense of humor, another brings a bomb job. Anyway, God bless the Brazilians. They brought their music. And they opened up like on a Sunday, a Cuban Latin music thing live at a normal hour, you know, like 4 o'clock. I don't ever go to these dances. They're on 10 o'clock. Who could go to those things? I don't understand who goes to a dance 10 o'clock at night. But I have friends my age. They go to dances 10 o'clock at night like they're 15 years old. I don't. Anyways, I go down there with Teddy. I sit outside. I have a beer. So a young lady comes over and she says, Michael Savage, I love your show. You've kept me alive. You keep me going, blah, blah, blah. So I said, let me ask you something. I said, did you recognize me and my dog? She said, I recognized Teddy first. So I said, I figured so. I said, I figured you recognized Teddy first. They all know Teddy. I don't know how they know Teddy. Must be from that book, Psychological Nudity, where I put him on the cover of that book. All of those of you who bought it, you know what I'm talking about, is a little fake. So the dog is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to have an animal like this. I don't know if they have like a... I think that the dog... Sometimes I think the dog is like a dream catcher. You know how like the Native Americans, there was a big thing with dream catchers for a while? I know that that's paganism and all, but I believe in it. They put like feathers on it. Like in the Bay Area, if you drive around, they took off the St. Christopher medals that their grandfathers or fathers had on the dashboard. They drive around here with so much things hanging from the mirror, I don't know how they can drive. Between the crystals and the feathers hanging off a mirror in the average on the average San Francisco car, I don't know how they don't get into more accidents with what they have hanging there. It's like a rolling, well, anyway, I don't have the word, feathers and crystals and all sorts of voodoo things hanging off a mirror. But any reference to Christianity is gone. But in a society like this, it's nice to have a dog. So anyway, they believe in the dream catcher thing. And then they made the feathers, and then a dream catches a dream. All right, well, if it works, fine. I only wish someone got into my bed and caught my dreams for me one night so I can fall asleep and wake up feeling refreshed. I told you what goes on between my ears at night, I can make 6 movies by the morning. If I could attach a wire to my head and have it wired right into Steven Spielberg's camera, I mean, it would be a fabulous thing to watch these movies. Sound, color, 3D. It's got plots. It's got dialogue. I don't know where it comes from. But I'm like a vehicle for, like a lightning rod. Here it comes, the movie's coming tonight. So anyway, if the dog maybe is a dream catcher, it would be wonderful, but I think I become his dream catcher. He lays at the foot of my bed and I hear him moaning. I have to wake up and say, Teddy, don't worry, it's okay. If he was my dream catcher, it would be another story. I'm my dog's dream catcher. Like a baby in bed. They have emotions, it's amazing. How can you ever eat dog meat? I mean, thank God I don't live in Korea. Or northern China. I don't know how they could do it. Not all animals are the same. There are different levels of consciousness as there are in human beings. As you know, there's gradations. Oh, I know we're all equal. Yeah, we all vote. Even those who get the government aid get to vote themselves raises. While I sit and sweat my heart out 18 hours a day. We all vote. You know my feeling on that, don't you? I don't believe in it. I believe in order to vote, you should pay taxes. And I believe it should be a minimum of $1,000 a year in taxes in order to get the vote. That's right. Mark it down. That's what I said. That is correct. You don't pay taxes, you don't vote. How's that? Does that work for you? You want to save America? Change the voting rules in this country. No anchor babies, number one. That's A. B, no taxi, no votey. Does that work for you? I can give you number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's all in trickle-up poverty, incidentally. Yeah, I'm very proud of my new book. Only it's not out, so I'm not going to talk about it. Would you believe it went up to like number 5 on the Amazon without my even talking about it over the weekend? How is this happening? How is this happening? Because you got a president on a unicycle with a horn, honk, honk. I didn't see the rally, but the mosque, I'm right there for the agitators. Honk, 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 honk.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I do not think that most of the evangelicals who voted for Democrats are going to listen to the kind of hate that the right-wing talk radio show. I just don't think that's true. Some are thoughtful people, many of whom did vote for Barack Obama, and their problem, I mean, it's false.
Because Thursday is a hard-working day, and Friday I'll get my pay.
There was a huge rally over the weekend with nearly a million conservatives who attended, and the media is reporting the numbers between 17,000 and 20,000. I knew that we were in trouble, but I had no idea, truthfully, as cynical as I am, of the vermin in the media. I really had no idea how bad it was until I saw this weekend. The largest crowd I've ever seen at the mall in Washington, D.C., peaceful, great assemblage, First Amendment, and the media says there were 17,000 people. I swear to you, I cannot believe it's this bad. Obama says that he ignored the rally. Now, what does that tell you about this Pinocchio? You look at the top of the major website on the web, and you see him on a bicycle with a crash helmet, looking like an 11-year-old boy, juxtaposed with Putin out with an assault rifle hunting whales on the ocean, and his headline, Summer Snapshots. And you ask yourself, how did it come to this point in America that we have such an incompetent, inexperienced Pinocchio in the highest office in America? Well, I'll let you figure out who did this to us and whether or not we can retake this country again. The psycho libs from hell wonder why people think Obama's a Muslim. Well, here's why.
I think my statement at the iftar dinner in the White House was very clear, and that is that if you can build a church on that site, if you can build a synagogue on that site or a Hindu temple on that site, then we can't treat people of the Islamic faith differently who are Americans, who are American citizens. That is central to who we are. That is a core value of our Constitution. And my job as president is to make sure, in part, that we're upholding our Constitution.
Our clueless president gets more detached by the second. Listen to this.
There were those who said I couldn't win as U.S. Senator because I had a funny name, and people would be too unfamiliar with me. And yet, we ended up winning that Senate seat in Illinois because I trusted in the American people's capacity to get beyond all this nonsense and focus on, is this somebody who cares about me and cares about my family and has a vision for the future? And so I will always put my money on the American people, and I'm not going to be worrying too much about whatever rumors are floating on out there. If I spend all my time chasing after that, then I wouldn't get much done.
Can you believe this?
I can't spend all my time with my birth certificate plastered on my forehead. it is what the facts are, the facts. And so it's not something that I can, spend all my time worrying about. I don't think the American people want me to spend all my time worrying about it.
Well, maybe you should worry about it.
I've got things right now in before Congress that we should move immediately. And I've said so before I went on vacation, and I'll keep on saying it now that I'm back. We should be passing legislation that helps small businesses get credit, that eliminates capital gains taxes so that they have more incentive to invest right now. There are a whole host of measures that we could take, no single element of which is a magic bullet, but cumulatively can start continuing to build momentum for the recovery.
That's not true. It sounds like you're having trouble getting through to the people.
What we did know was that it took nearly a decade. How are we doing on sound, guys? Is it still going in the press? Okay. What we did know was that it was going to take nearly a decade in order. Can you guys still hear us? Okay. Let me try this one more time. What we did know was that it took nearly a decade to dig the hole that we're in, and that it would take longer than any of us would like to climb our way out.
How can he get away with it? Because CNN focuses on things like this.
My name is Aman Ali. I am the co-creator of 30 Mosques in 30 Days, where my partner Bassam Tariq and I are traveling to a different mosque in a different state each night for the month of Ramadan. think it's a little bit of everything. Ramadan is obviously a month of spiritual purification, so that's part of it. I've always been the adventure kind of person, though. You know, I've always been the person that loved to just go on road trips, so this gives me an opportunity to kind of mix those two interests that I want, the whole spiritual purification and the road trip adventure as well.
A Muslim road trip? That's just great. And here's what they think of you, racist American.
So we get on the highway in Atlanta, and we start heading towards the south, down to Jacksonville. And as we're driving on the highway, we see this huge, massive Confederate flag just waving in the air. We all agree in the car that this place is too racistly awesome to pass without taking a photo.
You see, there's nothing to fear. There's no bad apples there.
I really hope that non-Muslims draw from this project that... I think if there's one thing that they draw, it's that a lot of this is just a part of their community, and I hope they accept that. That what we're covering is not some fringe group, but it's a part of the American fabric. And if we can get that through, and if people really feel like, okay, you know what? These guys ain't so bad.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
When the topic is about Michael Savage being banned from entering Britain, very few in the media had the courage to speak up. One person who did speak out was Gina Miller of the Dakota Voice. She now joins us to speak out about the Ground Zero Victory Mosque and to expose what hidden purpose she thinks it may have. Gina Miller, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Gina, you are one of the few in the media to talk about my ban from Britain. And now you've been looking at an angle of the mosque story that is not really being reported.
Yes, Michael, I know how critically important the story of your ban from Britain is and will continue to be, not just for you, but also in relation to the freedom all of us here in America enjoy. I also knew that your re-banning by the new so-called conservative government of Britain would be a story not many, even on our side, would cover, and the same goes for this story of the Sharia Index Project. Now, the left is desperately trying to sugarcoat the intentions of the people behind this Ground Zero Mosque, and I, for one, am trying to do as much as I can to spread the truth about the Victory Mosque that would overlook the graveyard of 9/11 if it's allowed to be constructed.
What do you mean by Sharia indexing? What is this?
Well, Michael, a disturbing report has been released by Christine Brim at the Center for Security Policy that further exposes some hidden and likely motivations behind the developers of the Ground Zero Mosque. The more we learn about Faisal Rauf, the front man for the proposed Ground Zero Mosque, the more we can see that he's anything but moderate. And now Ms. Brim reveals a shadowy plan going back to 2006 and probably before that, which involves Faisal Rauf collaborating with a number of Middle Eastern Islamic Sharia law scholars to create the Sharia Index Project, the purpose of which is to benchmark Sharia compliance, to distribute Sharia propaganda, and to enforce Sharia law in America and worldwide.
What does this report say?
Michael, the report begins with a fascinating observation that many of us may not have considered. The proposed Ground Zero Mosque has 15 stories, but that number does not add up to the stated plans for the building, according to Rauf and company. Ms. Brim makes a list of uses for the floors according to what the developers have said would be included in the center. A mosque, a halal restaurant, art studio, swimming pool, auditorium, etc. Ms. Brim determines that all of these things would take up a maximum of 9 floors, setting aside 1 floor for each item and 2 floors for the mosque. That leaves 6 floors unexplained. Ms. Brim believes she knows exactly what those floors will be, the New York headquarters of the Sharia Index Project. The report then chronicles the history of the spawning of the Sharia Index Project, in which Faisal Rauf is neck-deep in involvement. In fact, he spearheads it. Ms. Brim and her team culled the information from 2 hidden websites that were also heavily scrubbed of the Cordoba Initiative Sharia Index Project, plus they used other websites as well.
How does this report inform us that the Sharia Indexing Project got started?
Michael, it began with the first meeting in August of 2006 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and has built from there. The timeline-style report outlines the known attendees of the various meetings, plus the general purposes and outcomes of each meeting, including planning the Sharia Index, expanding the core group of Sharia experts, drafting the Sharia Index, and building the actual apparatus and operational system for it, not to mention they're colluding with the Muslim Brotherhood's International Institute of Islamic Thought. The Sharia Index Project Group also has enlisted the help of polling experts from Gallup, Pew, and Harvard.
Well, I can't believe this is going on with the FBI doing nothing. What do you think is this group's goal?
This group's ultimate goal is to implement Sharia law in America and around the world. That's the bottom line. The proposed Ground Zero Mosque would be doubly devilish in that it would not only serve as a victory monument towering over the wasted World Trade Center site at Ground Zero, but it would also be a powerful force for spreading Sharia law in our country. Michael, I know I speak for millions of Americans when I say not on our watch.
The media is smearing those of us who speak out every chance they get.
And this information comes as Rao's wife, Daisy Khan, further dug in her heels against the American people who demand they find another location for their mosque. She sounded just like a Democrat politician when she blamed Republicans for the opposition to a mosque at Ground Zero. Those are the left's talking points. I have news for Mrs. Khan. Americans of all political affiliations, races, and religions are opposed to this wicked plan for Ground Zero, not just Republicans.
I've been saying all along this is not about the First Amendment, and it's not a left versus right issue. It's really about America's survival as a nation.
Michael, I know the elites in America are working hand in hand with the Islamists to incrementally slip Sharia into our American system, inching it into banking institutions with Sharia finance laws. The Sharia finance laws are much more stealthy and are already infiltrating our banking system. The big bankers only see green, and when huge amounts of Middle Eastern money are potentially available to the banks, with some Islamic law stipulations, of course, they don't say no. And I really don't know how we can stop the banks from allowing Sharia finance laws into our country, because the bankers would have to stand against it on principle, the principle of what Sharia law represents, the subjugation and abuse of women and religious and other minorities, plus the murders in the name of Islam of countless numbers of people over the years.
Well, I wouldn't expect the big banking industry to do the right thing.
Michael, you know I'm not holding my breath on the big bankers having the principles to stand against Sharia finance. If the Sharia Index Project is indeed intended to be in the Ground Zero Mosque, it would establish a bold center for Sharia propagation. And this gives us yet another monumental reason to fight this Ground Zero Mosque project in any way we can. This is not a freedom of religion issue. Christine Grimm states the plain truth at the end of the report when she writes, quote, "The issues at stake in the Ground Zero Mosque and the Sharia Index Project are not about Americans supporting the Constitution's protection of religious freedom. Americans support that protection. The issues at stake here are about Americans protecting the Constitution from Sharia-adherent groups using the protective guise of religious freedom to attack the Constitution itself, using a triumphal Ground Zero mosque as the base for a project to institutionalize Sharia in America," end quote.
Has there been any reaction from the media, which shows us that somebody is paying attention to what's going on here?
No. In fact, Michael, I wrote on this because I have seen this nowhere, just a couple of places on the Internet. Of course, the Center for Security Policy's website has it up, and Andrew Breitbart's Big Peace website. But other than that, I haven't heard it on the radio. I haven't seen it anywhere else. And this is very important information. And if this is actually the case, which I have a strong feeling it likely is, then this really does add to the big bad picture of this nefarious mosque at Ground Zero. And the story really needs to be put out there. And we need to have this discussion.
Well, why do you think the media is not reporting this?
Well, Michael, the media and the elites, of course, are on the same side as the radical Islamists. They're doing everything they can to make this Ground Zero Mosque project succeed. It's, you know, if you didn't know any better, you might think that the elites, The American left, the news media, are all in collusion against our own country. And I have a feeling that may not be so far from the truth. The bottom line is we need to have this discussion. This information needs to be out there. And the media and the left need to be forced. This needs to be forced in their face. They need to be forced to deal with this. And these people with the Ground Zero Mosque need to be held to account. We need a full accounting of what they intend, what their intentions are with this mosque. And if indeed the Sharia Index Project is a part of the plan, we need to know this.
Where can we read more?
Michael, my article, which is titled Hidden Purpose of Ground Zero Mosque Exposed, is on the front page at dakotavoice.com, but it was published a few days ago, so it's down a little way, but you can easily find it, plus my other two articles on your ban from Britain by clicking on the author link for Gina Miller that has all my archives, and that is also on the right side of the front page, again, at dakotavoice.com.
Gina Miller, thanks for being on The Savage Nation. I'm not alone when I say that this has nothing to do with the First Amendment. It is about respect for those who have fallen. It's about never forgetting what they did to us. And it's about remembering that this is a cemetery.
Savage.
This is The Savage Nation. Do you think Obama really wants to be president? He's not acting as though he does. Did Soros and Obama's other puppet masters underestimate him? Well, how will his controllers regain power if Obama kind of loses interest and ceases to be useful as their Pinocchio? What do you fear Obama was told to do by the men who control him when he was vacationing on Martha's Vineyard? Regarding the Ground Zero Mosque, it's been revealed that Imam Raf has a history of tenant problems. The developer of the mosque has tax problems, and he's even been arrested for patronizing a prostitute. Now, if you were on a city council, even if they weren't building a mosque, would you trust people with this kind of background with a $100 million development project? Why are the vermin in the media protecting these radicals for so long, even though this information has been coming out? Now, pictures have been circulating on the internet comparing Obama on a bicycle looking like a child with Vladimir Putin on vacation shooting an assault rifle, hunting. What do you feel is the fundamental difference between these two men? Does America need a leader who conveys greater strength than Obama is capable of? Well, that's obvious. What qualities are fundamental in a leader who can take the United States back to greatness? I know what they are. Do you? And we have the president, Pinocchio, is riding a bicycle and playing golf with Bloomberg, the other Pinocchio. They played golf together. I saw the head of the CIA on a cooking show tasting some souffle. That was really encouraging. That gave me a tremendous sense of courage, because especially since when Leon Panetta was picked to head up the CIA by Pinocchio, we were told it was a great conflict, remember? He had no training in security at all, nothing. They picked him from a college in Monterey, California, where probably he majored in eating calamari. And because he was a Democrat operative and a good friend of Nancy Pelosi, he was made the head of the CIA to make sure that they didn't look at anything done by the Democrat government too closely. Say, oh, come on, he doesn't have any background in defense or security, but it's all right. Now, the way he's on a cooking show. And he looked just like Peter Sellers. God bless him. I'm sure he's a nice man. All I know is that everyone I talk to fears that one day we're going to wake up to smoldering cities because of all of the Neros that are fiddling as America sits there waiting to burn. That's not a bad sentence. Most intelligent people I know fear that we're going to wake up to smoldering cities because all of the Neros are fiddling while America is about to burn. Now, that's not a parable as much as it is a description. And is it a prognostic? A description? I hope not. I hope it's just a fantasy based upon irrational fears. But then again, we never know. We never know. We see that a British spy was found dead in the street, dead in a trunk. Oh, boy, there it is. There it is. The British spy was found, MS, or the MI5, whatever. I don't know if that's the name of the highway or the Secret Service in England, but they're about the same today. They're more concerned with the citizens who would defend their own country than they are with the people who want to overturn their own country. But anyway, the British spy is found dead, and you read on the story, he was a transvestite, found dead in the trunk, and with women's clothing found in his apartment. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It's his lifestyle choice. He should be allowed to do what he wants. It makes no difference. Well, there was a time that it made a difference. It was a time that if you had certain proclivities, you weren't hired for intelligence agencies because they knew you could easily be blackmailed in nightclubs and such. Oh, that's nonsense. That's not diversity. That's not the modern world. No. We don't need people who have nobility of spirit. After all, what is nobility of spirit? It could be anything. How dare you suggest that this is not a noble way for a man to behave? It's not a noble thing. It's as noble as anything else. As noble as having 5 children and going to church every Sunday. That's right. And they're certainly just as good in that behavior as any man who has fought in a war. There's no, in fact, a man who fought in a war is probably higher risk than a man who dresses up as a woman and winds up in a trunk. And that nonsense from the mid-century nonsense should be thrown out the window. We're living in a new world order. Yeah, okay, well, you see it your way, I see it mine. And that's why I said that I had to do certain things that I did, so. 1-800-449-825, Michaels, and 14 murders. It's going to happen with Mexico. I think we have to pull the troops out of Germany and put them on the border with Mexico very soon. Something tells me there is going to be a narco state takeover of Mexico. Then what's going to happen? Do you think that the Mexican government is strong enough to withstand what is going on from within its own country? I don't know. Yasser in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Savage. Conservative for 10 years listening to you. I would like to share the comment that just answering your question. And there is 3 instructions at least how to treat mothers and wives decently. I'm a married, and I treat my wife and my mom the best I can.
Anyway, you're saying as a Muslim, you have found within the Quran a respect for women. And where is that found? What section is it? Give the people the number and the area.
Driving now, so this actually.
Fair enough. I'm not here to put you on the spot because your call was meant in peace, and I accept it in peace. Thank you. In other words, your religious teachings teach you to respect your wife and children. Yes.
Absolutely. And
so, explain to a non-Muslim like myself, Yasser, why is it that the Islamists treat women so contemptibly? Where do they get that from?
It's a tribal system that they need to get out of it. And its tribal system, unfortunately, is managing a lot of that part of the world, which is the Middle East and Afghanistan.
Why is the tribal system of Islam now dominating the discussions that we are having about Islam and Christianity and Judaism? How is it that throwbacks from the 9th century are suddenly so dominant on Earth that we're listening to their view of the world? How is this happening?
It's actually tribal for even Christians and Druze. It's all the same problem. It is very, very, like thousands of years of traditions that it needs patience and training and teaching and openness. People like us who traveled around the world, we need to bring back these updating of thoughts. It's, believe me, it's nothing to do with religion because all the 3 major religions.
All right, so what you're saying is it has nothing to do with the actual religion. It has to do with the tribal view of religion, which is stuck 1,000 years ago, in essence.
Yes, Dr. Fassad.
All right, so you have just confirmed that a man can learn from, who is wise, a man who learns from every man. So I hope that I've learned from you, and people listening to the show have learned something more about the religion of Islam as opposed to the fiction of Islam as being prophesied by the false prophets of the tribal aspects of the religion and those who push the Wahhabi aspects of Islam, which again are an 18th century view, a very extremist view. The only hope for the world, by the way, as I can tell, this debate within the world or this conflict within the world, the only prayer is the Muslim woman. Only if the Muslim women around the world finally stand up and revolt against these throwback 13th century or 9th century men who treat them like chattel can the world hope to be saved from this tribalism that threatens to engulf us in a new Holocaust. And I use that term generically, not specifically. Holocaust refers to a fire, incidentally, if you actually search for what the word means. It's not a generically, it's not a specific word specific to the German Holocaust. The word Holocaust actually refers to a fire. A great conflagration is what it really refers to. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. I was in L.A. So I went to dinner with my friend Andrew Breitbart and a couple of people from Hollywood who I will not mention. And we were in a restaurant. I took him to a restaurant somewhere, an Italian restaurant. After about three bottles of wine, we were really loud. We were talking about this exact topic of birth rates and Islam. And I said to one of the guys there, an actor, a very famous actor, I said, well, the birth rate is lower than 2.1. Whereupon, after the dinner, we were leaving, we were outside in the parking lot, and a guy comes up to me and he says, by the way, you're wrong. The birth rate in America is higher than 2.1. I said, well, no, I'm not talking about the overall birth rate of America. I know it's higher than 2.1. I said, amongst European Americans, it's lower than 2.1. And he denied I was correct. He wanted to be right. I didn't even argue with him because at a certain point, I don't care. I know what the facts are. I said, yes, if you include Hispanics who have a very high birth rate, God bless them, it is over 2.1, but not amongst the European Americans. They're not reproducing at the proper rate for survival in the long run. So we were having fun. Then earlier in the dinner, this is very just a little funny side note. I swear to God, this happened. You know how restaurants get very loud? I don't like loud restaurants, but this was a loud restaurant. We were sitting in an outdoor covered patio, and we were having a great political discussion, in some cases arguing with each other. I forget over what. But we were having a great political discussion, four great intelligent guys. It was a lot of fun for me. All of a sudden, an old man turns from one of the tables and he says, "Will you guys please quiet down? You're very loud." So one of the actors who was with us, this guy could play the Hulk. He is so big. He said out very loud, he says, "God, communists sure hate freedom of speech, don't they?" That's all he said. And every time the man turned to say something to us, he repeated again, "Damn, those communists really hate freedom of speech, don't they, Michael?" Whereupon, of course, when the dinner was over, the poor man slunk out behind their wives and the big pocketbooks that their wives held, going to their Buicks out in the parking lot. I mean, this is an example of what liberals do. When they're talking loud, it's all well and good. When you're talking loud, it's offensive. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's the news from MichaelSavage.com, all the news of the day that was worthy of making it up to my website. Did you know that Bloomberg is going to headline a fundraiser for Reid? Did you miss that? That's right. Old Bloomberg, Mr. Musk, who has vast interests in the Muslim world, actually thinks he's going to be president. He's that deranged. But worse than that, Bloomberg is set to host a fundraiser for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat of Nevada, in September. My guess is Bloomberg will run as a Democrat. It's astounding that the people just don't see it for what it is. You know, it's unbelievable to me. Top writer Michael Savage, Ground Zero Imam has history of tenant troubles. Next story, he doesn't want to be commander-in-chief. It is not that we didn't know this before, but reading the New York Times, one is left slack-jawed when we realize Obama does not want to be commander-in-chief. Major fuel buy. Could Israel be preparing for war? Mosque developers are tax deadbeats. Undeclared war in Venezuela. Elder rabbi in Israel says, may God smite them with the plague. Who? Well, you'll have to read website Michael Savage to find out. How about Obama on a dollar bill? Left-wing artists, so-called, have redesigned the dollar bill and replaced George Washington with Barack Obama.
Jesus.
Take a look at the pictures. Okay, in Obama we trust. All others pay cash.
They've even got a pink $5 bill.
German banker says Muslims won't integrate. He also says that all Jews share the same gene. The Ground Zero mosque agitator has a history of arrests. 7 run-ins with the law. How do you like that? Jeremiah Wright slams those who think Obama is a Muslim. He says anyone who does is psychotic. The Gallup poll says Obama's approval is the highest among Muslims. 78% rating. Huh, I'm shocked by that one, that Hussein Obama would be so popular amongst Muslims. Immigrants are turning to the sea to enter the U.S. illegally. A volcano has erupted in western Indonesia for the first time in 400 years. How about nuns on surfboards? Take a look at the picture on Michael Savage. Nuns host gnarly surfing contest. That's very funny. All of these stories can be seen on michaelsavage.com. I mean, I can't even get to all of them. Jury hears Muslim scheme to blow up New York City synagogues. Congresswoman awarded funds to relatives. Putin hints he will return to the Kremlin in 2012. And on and on and on. All in these and more headlines on michaelsavage.com, where you can also see Trickle Up Poverty, a sneak preview of my new book coming out October 5th, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. That's it from michaelsavage.com. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, and what's going on in the White House. But with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. I'll take a call now on the Savage Nation. Here's Modesto. Cindy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. I just want to know what a gefilte fish is.
Well, a gefilte fish is Robert Gibbs. He is the press secretary for Obama. That's what a gefilte fish is. But if you want to know what gefilte fish is, that's another story.
Okay. Will you tell it?
In other words, why do I call Robert Gibbs a human gefilte fish, right?
Right.
Okay. Here's the answer. If you go to a supermarket and you look in the ethnic food section and you go to Jewish foods and you see jarred fish like manischewitz, it says gefilte fish. You go and look at it today, you'll see. It's a sort of it's like a round, oblong object of fish that's been rolled together. Now, imagine putting two eyes inside that fish. You'll see Robert Gibbs inside the bottle. But in all seriousness, you're asking what is gefilte fish per se, correct?
Yeah.
The Jewish people originally made gefilte fish. It's a boiled fish, by the way. And they made it from the poorest fish that they get, the cheapest form of fish that was available in the Europe at that time. It was made from carp and pike and whitefish, and they mashed it up. They mixed it up together in a ball. They rolled it by hand and they boiled it, you know, with certain spices and whatnot. But it was the cheapest fish that they had. It was not an expensive dish. It was a peasant dish. It's very much in many ways like a lot of Italian people or Chinese people eat tripe, which is a poor man's food, but they came to love it. Even wealthy people will still eat some of the traditional dishes like tripa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so what is your ethnic background?
My ethnic background? My grandparents, or one of them was Czechoslovakian.
So if I asked you what an ethnic food is in your from your people, what would you say?
Oh, gosh.
Most Americans are disconnected from their ethnic background. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But in essence, that's what gefilte fish is. Not to be confused with a gefilte fish known as Robert Gibbs. You know, I have been reading, okay, on the plane I bought some magazines. I like to look like a kid again. I bought Flying Magazine because I always wanted to fly. I took lessons. I never went anywhere with it. But now I'm at a point where I'm bored of boating. So I'm toying with becoming a pilot. All right, maybe. I probably won't do it. But I'm reading the magazine. You know what I saw in the magazine that struck me as very odd? Several of the schools, aeronautical universities, schools that teach how to fly, they have ads in the Flying Magazine. And strangely enough, several of them show the students, and they're all of Middle Eastern origin. It's as though they're advertising in the magazine saying, come fly with me. Now you say, well, all right, why shouldn't Middle Easterners learn to fly in America? I don't know. It just struck me as bizarre. They show a happy Caucasian pilot instructor teaching a smiling Middle Easterner how to fly a glide path. The almighty dollar, huh? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. 1-800-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon, moon, blue moon, dip, 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 moon, moon, blue moon, dip, 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 moon.
The only crimes in America today are Islamophobia, homophobia, and Obamaphobia. I think that's a new word, Obamaphobia. Someone, I would think it'll be on Hush's show tomorrow. Who can steal it right now? I came up with a new phrase, Obamaphobia. That's pretty good. Has anyone heard that, Beowulf? I haven't heard it. Have you? That's good. See, I coined a new phrase. Savage says Obamaphobia, a national disease. Stop the press. Maybe I should retitle Trickle Up Poverty, Overcoming Obamaphobia. It'll be a 12-step program. And it starts with a picture of our great leader in your bathroom. So that every time you're on the throne, you stare at him and you realize what a great man he really is. The second, et cetera. I mean, I could do a comedic.